हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Outsourcing. Comes the thought, what is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows His purpose, Paritra Naya Sadhunam Vinashayaja Duskritam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8, right? Because it's not that the Bhagavad Gita is not known. And so Kamsa, as a member of the Kshatriya order, he would be trained in the Vedic knowledge, so he'll also know this verse. Right. He will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman. She is my sister, and moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. Right. So, it's not that he didn't understand it before, but he was just so overwhelmed by his own emotions that while Vasudev was trying to dissuade him previously, it wasn't considered a full solution, right? So only when he came up with the point that, okay, yes, I'll bring the children of each of, it means all of the children to him, then it was okay. Then he could see that that's a good solution for him. But we see here, it's not that he doesn't know the position of the Lord, what the Lord's, duties are. It's not that he doesn't know Dharma and what would be good and who had his reputation. So therefore then, does that make sense? Yes.
It's an interesting point. He knows Bhagavad Gita before he was spoken.
Yes, yes, yes. Because it's always there, but then it has to be re-spoken, because we tend to. So it can be documented. But otherwise, yes. You also see, when they're in Vrindavan, Nand Maharaj will talk about Gita, and others will mention Gita before it was spoken. Yes. So it's eternal literature. So it's a, footnote 18. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Kamsa began to think, what is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna within her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated, right? Because they know who he is. Kamsa knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated, right? So any intelligent. So if we're trying to violate or saying we don't need to follow, that means by default not intelligent, right? Okay. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons. Kamsa thought, if I kill Devaki at this present moment, Vishnu will enforce his supreme will more vehemently. To kill Devaki just now would be a most abominable act. No one desires to kill his reputation, even in an awkward situation. If I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Right at the time when the voice came and he killed her then, no one would have appreciated it. It wouldn't have been. Of those who are good, then his reputation wouldn't have gotten any better, right? But amongst others, then it would have been understood. Kshatriyas, this mood, the passion, and it happens. But now it's that they're sitting there peacefully, all these different things like that. Therefore, he can't ruin his reputation. So even those who support him would probably feel bad about this. Does that make sense? Because it doesn't have that moment of passion, that kind of...
Kasi you have that spansa. Now this is his third word, like Hiranyakashipu, and then the next is Ravana Kumbhakarna.
Yes.
You see that the intensity of this demon becomes less and less.
The intensity of the demons become less, because that's in the ages. Depending upon the age, then they take on that flavor.
Because you have so much in knowledge. Whereas Hiranyakashipu was also in knowledge, but then he was very much confident upon his power than Vishnu, where his tongue sound.
No, but that's because they don't understand his position, really. See, he knows that it's Krishna. While the other two forms, they didn't know he was Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu couldn't understand what, you know, here's half man, half lion, what is this? So he's just thinking, what is this? You know, so he's thinking Kinara or Kimperu, like that. He doesn't know what is it. But because he's killed by the Lord, he's purified, and at the same time, you have the aspect of gaining all material opulence, because you're in touch with the Lord, but it's not spiritual, then it'll take on, the material quality will increase. Ravana also, he just thought he was a human being. And not only that, a human being here with a bunch of monkeys. You know, so when does the Supreme Lord show up with a bunch of monkeys? So he's not thinking, but here he knows he's the Supreme Lord. That's then why it's, that's technically the So, yes.
And also, they came, Shishupal and Dhanta Bhakti.
Yes, but then you see how much does Shishupal know about Krishna? He knows he's Krishna, he knows all. He's just, it's negative. So the point is when the demon knows it's the Lord, then being killed by the Lord, then they go to that the Brahman, and then from there, then being in that purified state where there is no conditioning, then they will remember, think of the Lord, and so since they can understand it's transcendental, then it will become favorable, they'll go to Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? While then the demons that don't know is the Lord, they'll simply take birth here again. Maybe in a nice position, but they'll... So whenever they're like this, then you know, then that's going to be the end. So with Krishna, you know, then we see that that's the prominent aspect. So... You know, it's just like all those the warriors on the Battle of Kurukshetra, because they're seeing Krishna Arjuna, they're being killed by Arjuna, but they're seeing Krishna, then they all go to back to Godhead. Okay. Okay. No one desires to kill his reputation, even in an awkward situation. If I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is a woman, and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant, and if I kill her, immediately my reputation, the results of my pious activities, and my duration of life will all be finished. So that's just how, that's the effect of things. Impious activities, then they ruin the reputation, and they shorten the duration of life. Yes?
Kamsa is intensely meditating on Krishna.
Yes.
And we can say, almost constantly.
Yes.
But it's all secondary meditation. He never thought somehow to surrender.
No, no. But you see, he gets the benefit. He brings him to the transcendental platform. But because of the lack of devotion, it doesn't take him forward into devotional life. So that's why it's mentioned. There was that, where was that? I think it was in the 7th canto, Narad Muni was explaining that someone thinking of the Lord, whatever their reason, they will be elevated to that same transcendental position. So he's giving an example of the demons, that they're so absorbed in the Lord, and they attain that transcendental position. I think it was in connection with Shishupal. But, so then after saying all that, to establish the point that it's connection with the Lord, thinking of the Lord, that is of value. Then he takes it to the next step where, so... they're thinking of him not in favorable, and they still got such good results. So think, what are the results of those who think of him favorably? They can go even farther. But in any case, absorption of the Lord, that will take you to the transcendental platform. So that's why then trying to think of the Lord is such an important point within the devotional process. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, right? You hear and chant, you'll remember. Yes.
Maharaj, if the demons, they see Krishna as the absolute, and they still have like negative approach and position towards him. So what's the use of their knowledge? For example, if Kamsa knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, why he, knowing the Supreme Lord, why he still having, unless it's arrangement obviously, why he still has enmity and why he has no fear to change all his plans, for example?
Because they're materialists, so they still want the material. You know, it's hope against hope. It's like any materialist. They know things aren't going to work, but they try anyway. So it's the same principle. It's just that they have that principle a little bit more than others, so they're called demons. But the demoniac mentality means materialism. And being Krishna conscious, you know, in a devotional way, that's called pious. So technically speaking, even if you're most pious person doing everything perfectly, like that, you know, recognizing the you know, that the Lord's in control, is still considered impious. Because you're not seeing it in connection with the Lord favorably. Does that make sense? So that's the highest definition. Then the next down definition within the universe will be those who accept the laws of God, that's pious. Those that don't, that's impious. Then you go a step down from that. You accept that there is, you know, such a concept as the supreme, but your only purpose of the rules in that is simply for the material benefit you'll get. Because if you follow the laws, you get better benefit than you get from not following them. So he's simply looking at it that God's made all these laws, and if you don't follow them, then his material position isn't going to be good. So he's simply worried about his material position. He's not worried about his spiritual position. That's of no interest. So he's being pious in this way, but only in the consideration that his material enjoyment will be better than if he's impious. Right now he's, you know, like an emperor. He has so many friends, so much influence, so much support, so much facility, and all that. But if he kills Devaki, then so much of his friends and that won't support him anymore. He won't have that same position. His lifespan will be shortened. So, you know, what's the benefit? Even though he'd really love to kill her, but he sees that the results are going to be less, you know, because he says that Vishnu he can't thwart Vishnu's plan, so he's going to kill him anyway, but now it'll be worse. So if he doesn't kill her, he maintains more piety, therefore he'll live a bit longer. While if he kills her, then he'll lose piety and Vishnu will be more upset, so he'll kill him sooner, and, you know, so it's... You know, that kind of a thing. Yeah.
How come Kamsa is worried about his reputation?
A reputation amongst those who he has his reputation. It's just like, let's say you have a bunch of punk kids, okay? Outside of that circle of punk kids, do they have a reputation? Means a good one, positive one. No. But within their circle, then who's the punkiest is the top of the pile. So you wouldn't want to lose your reputation as a punk kid amongst the punk kids, and they couldn't actually care less about the reputation outside the circle of punk kids. Does that make sense? Yeah. So amongst the demons, he has his reputation, but demons also know that by following the piety and everything, then that's how they get their enjoyment and power and everything from. So if he does this, all of his friends who are supporting him now may not support him. You know, it's not that, you know, he's killing, you know, Vishnu comes along and he fights with him and kills him, and then, you know, that's not the problem. It's here, it's this. So all these demons, they all have families, right? You know, so then, you know, it's that, who is it? Putana came, and then who came after that? I think Bakasura? Trinavarta and that, because they were sisters and brothers of that. So, Baka, Aga, and Putana. Okay, so, and they're each, you know, okay, you killed my sister, you killed my brother and sister. You know, so, like that. So here it is, here's this demon killing his sister. Well, you know, where does that come from? Demons don't kill their sister. You know, and that's why they're demons. They like their sister.
So we're worried about the demon's feelings.
where else does he have a reputation? You know, is he trying to impress the Yadus or something?
His father.
You know? Yeah, but you know, he's stuck them all in prison. He's chased them all away. You know, so amongst the scene that's there, and there'll be other kings that are farther away, so they'll hear something about him. You know, he stuck his father in jail and took over. But amongst those who are not so pious, that's a pretty standard thing that I know of. Each of the, you know, all the there were the six Mughal emperors in India. Mm-hmm. Every one of them stuck their father in jail and then took over. Because the point is, when will the father give up being the king? Right? When he dies, right? And so he's not going to give it up because of his stature. And when does the son want to become the king? As early as possible. So when he's 16, he wants to be the king. The old man wants to be the king until he dies. So what's the solution? Okay, your father's old, stick him in prison, and then you become the king. It's not that you don't take care of him. He's under house arrest. He gets all nice facilities, but he has to stay in his apartment. You know? And that's the better one. You know?
When Shah Jahan was kept in jail, he used to say that, all life I used to think that these Hindus are kafirs and we have to kill them. But after, now I am seeing that how they are better, because they give the Shraddha, means the food for the forefathers.
Ah, okay.
But I am alive and my son is putting me in jail, no food.
Yeah.
So how bad is my religion?
Yeah, yeah. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. Yeah, because each one of them was put in. Akbar was put in jail by Shah Jahan. Akbar, you know, and then... Aurangzeb put Sahajan, and then he would have put, who was before him? There was Babur was the first.
Jahangir.
So each one, you know, and that comes back, because when you go back to the Turkey, that's how they were. So all they were doing is carrying on the tradition. You know, so it wasn't a strange thing. It wasn't that they were weird. That's the way it's done, right? Because, you know, son wants to be king, father doesn't want to give up being king, and hey, howdy bo, you know, especially if they have a long life. You know, it's like in England, it's going on, the queen's still there, right? And so how old is the son, right? He's what, in the 60s or,
yeah.
So, you know.
The like, longest waiting crown prince to become king.
Yeah.
He is more than Akihito when he was the crown prince of Hirohito in Japan, so he's...
Yeah, so it's a long... It's
he
like
might be
that.
Desperate inside, no?
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a good chance that, you know, he could die, and his son will be the king. So he would just loses out, you know?
Because the Vedic system is the best.
Yeah, the Vedic system. Because the point is, when the son's qualified, you go to the forest. Because, you know, the young has the enthusiasm and all, but they're trained.
Yes.
See, the problem with the mother is that she wasn't convinced that the son was trained enough. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. What to do. Yes.
Maharaj, since the sinful activities take out all the piety and fame, reputation, everything, so when a devotee does some sinful activity, it's no point to try to point out the good things, because anyways...
No, you can point out the good things if you're in an environment where it can have an effect, or at least it won't have bad effect for you, then... Why we wouldn't point it out? Because, but at the same time, there's not much you can do. But the point is you've done your duty, and the others don't do theirs. You know what I'm saying? In other words, devotee does, like Prabhupada was, I think it was Madhudvisa. Something went wrong there, and then one of the other sannyasis and that made a whole scene out of it, made it public knowledge, you know, because there's always the idea that. That means it's one of the natures of the living entity is truth. It's one of the seven like qualities you could say is inherent in the soul. But truth means knowledge about Krishna. But in the conditioned state, we think truth means mundane facts. And so therefore everyone has the right to truth. Yeah, everyone has the right to Krishna consciousness, but mundane facts, that's according to what's your qualification. Right? You don't have any relationship with this person. You're not controlled by this person. You're not controlling this person. So what right do you have to know about it? So therefore, it's just mundane gossip that everybody feels, I have the right to know. because it actually has zero to do with your devotional life. It means you're going on today, you don't know about it. Now, once knowing about it, why would that change? Because it doesn't affect you. You know what I'm saying? We make it affect us. Oh, with people like this, how can we go on? How can we have faith? How can we do this and that? All the karmis are out there doing all nonsense, not getting good results. We still have faith in materialism. One thing goes wrong in spiritual life. Oh, how can I have faith? You know, it's kind of like, hey, give me a break. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that we, by our own self-appointed, you know, generalissimo of, you know, how you say, devotional gossip, then think that everybody has the right to know and this is that thing. But the point is what has it got to do with reality? So Prabhupada chastised that devotee and said, now the person will go away. He'll have difficulty coming back. Because we think it's mundane is the real. And devotional is a nice concept. When for those who are from the spiritual world, spiritual has substance. And the material, it's all a dream. Someone has a good dream, someone has a bad dream. It's a dream. Does that make sense? So because of that, then that's what's reflected within Varnashram. Because Varnashram, you go on the good qualities. So good qualities are there. Something goes wrong, but then you support the good qualities, get it back on track. But when you drop below Varnashram, then it's based on bad qualities. Right? You know, as they're saying, people vote for, okay, who do you vote for? You know, the one who's the least bad. How often is it that people are voting for someone because they really think this guy's good? Most of the time, not.
Very rarely.
And very rare.
Just in American elections, Elliot Abrams is an expert in the foreign department. And I remember they asked him, whom you vote for, Trump or Clinton? He says, for me, none of them is the best candidate. It's unfortunate that we have these two options because for me, none of them is qualified to be president.
Yeah, yeah, so that's the thing. So it's just, so the point is you have the ideal. So it's based on negative. Okay, who's the least bad? Well, the Vedic is based on who has the good qualities. It's not that there won't be some bad. So because when we're saying they're the least bad, means there's plenty of bad qualities, but there's some good qualities. But the proportion of bad to good is more bad than good. But in the Vedic, it's more good than bad. But then if there's any fault there, we throw the whole thing out. How is that logic? So that's a very important aspect, is that the Vedic is, you look at the positive. What have they done? What can they do? And can they be maintained in that position? That's how Prabhupada worked. In other words, you're doing this devotional service. How to work in such a way that that devotional service can be maintained. So the preaching, the other things of this devotee is going on. Now, if he has some problem within the ashram, okay, that's not good, but what arrangement to make that that can go on, that service? Oh, we take it, oh, he's unqualified that service, he should never do that again. We work on this eternal damnation thing. But there's no mundane eternal damnation. Samsara means you go up, that means half of it you're going towards good and half of it going towards bad. And you could look at it, if you split it the other way, half of it they are good, half of it they are bad. You know what I'm saying? So there's no such thing as eternal damnation, but we have so much faith in it. And the worst part is not everyone's even born a Christian, and they still have faith in it. That really doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? Because if we go into it, Abraham, you know, there's fault, Moses, you know, then who's it? The one who got drunk? Noah or something like that? You know, there's all kinds of craziness going on in the Old Testament. But still, everyone, you know, they're senior. They prominently is good, so therefore it's good. New Testament, if it's not squeaky clean, oh, there, that's it, you're finished. You know, so all these things, where do they come from? That's the difficulty, is we put it on the mundane. So unless that position of appreciating the good quality, means, in other words, someone has a good quality, someone has been doing it, like we were discussing in the last class about accomplishment. In other words, there is accomplishment in that area. The guy has been a good pujari, has been steady for so many years, does that nicely, everyone's happy, then something happens, right? You know, like that. What is it, you know, the girl washing the pots and all that, and then, you know, something goes on. So, and now many will say, oh, he's not a Brahmin, he never was a Brahmin, never can be a Brahmin, that's it, you know, how you say, tar and feather him, draw and quarter him, you know, how you say, lop off his head on the guillotine, you know, burn him at the stake. Best it would be if he could do all of them. And then the next day, let's redo it again, right? So because it's about retribution. It's not about making the culture work. So this whole thing, everyone has the right to know, is not about devotional service. It's about, I want to, like a Shudra, lament and feel anger and all these low-class qualities that are not actually fit for someone from the Varnashram system. And it's my right to do this. And so therefore then these things come up. But it actually, it's destructive to the devotional process, it's destructive to the social fabric. You just have to look around. How much real community do we have? Why? Because everybody finds fault in everyone else. And if anyone does something wrong, that's it. They are never to be excused. Okay. So that's the thing. We don't look at the good. We don't look at what's there. Just like I said, your devotees immediately, as soon as the pujari does something wrong, they want to throw him out as a pujari. No. The point is you want to get married. Is this a good thing? Marry this girl. Go on with your puja. Or did you see, okay, that was stupid. I shouldn't do that. I carry on the way I am. That's Prabhupada's. Now people say, oh, but we're not Prabhupada. Oh, but are we in our not being Prabhupada, we can change what Prabhupada did? No, Prabhupada, as the Acharya said, this is how it's done. We're saying we're not Prabhupada. We're better than Prabhupada because we can change what Prabhupada does. So it's not, all these things are just the lame excuses for gossip. That's all. That makes sense. So the whole point is that one has to know these different things, how they're going to affect, and therefore then how to situate people. But because people don't know how to situate, they don't actually know what makes a Brahmin a Brahmin. Or a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Vaishya. So the point is, the person is a Brahmin, there's some impurity. Purify that thing. But they don't have the potency to purify. They only have the potency to throw out. But that, anybody has the potency. The rickshaw wallahs, you know, the local villagers and their torches and pitchforks. You know, that's pretty common. That's right, right? As soon as there's something, pitchforks and torches, get out there. You know, somebody's got to, you know, burn, die, hang, something. You know, then everyone's satisfied. They can go home and, you know, have dinner. You know, so that's Shudra. So that's what has to be known. So we're talking about Shudra within a non-Vedic culture. So how bad is that going to be? Because at least in the Shudra and the Vedic, there's concept that there's something positive. But we take it out of the Vedic into the negative, then all we have is negative qualities. So in other words, someone's in a position as long as no one finds something wrong. As soon as they find something wrong, that's it. Right? Bhagavatam, how many times someone's even got a name for what's wrong with them? Right? Samba, what's that name mean? Sa-amba, one who's always with his mother. So when the other kids were out playing with the other kids, he was with his mother. So he got the name Samba. You know, but they go on to do so many great things. So that's the whole point, is that weakness is there, but how to get around it. So people who can't purify, who can't do, all they think of is retribution. Because it's just anger. Anger is ignorance. So that's the Shudra mentality. Ignorance, destruction. So that's, if I destroyed it, I did something. Right? The temple president did something wrong. Remove the temple president. Now we did something. We can say to the world, yes, I did something. I stood up, I did something. Okay, who's running the temple now? No one's running the temple. There is no temple president. So where's the new temple president? Oh, that's not my business. I, you know, I did my job. That's a Shudra mentality. It's destructive. Because otherwise, you saw the Brahmins, did they remove Vena immediately? No. Because they saw, okay, at least he's keeping the peace of the country. He himself may be a nonsense, but he's creating a favorable environment for everybody else. But as soon as then he was not creating for everybody else, based on their duties, not based on their, oh, how can I go on and have faith, if, you know, not of this mundane stuff. So then they removed him. But having removed him, they created a new one. So if you can't replace with something at least equal, if not better, then what's your business being involved? So that's the thing. We go about, we'll destroy, but, you know, but we don't replace because we don't have the qualification. We'll say it's not our business, but that's because, yeah, it's not your business. So people who it is their business, they should be dealing with it. So why are we dealing with it? Because of my sense of security and control, my anger, my sense of retribution to the world. And here's an opportunity I can take it out on someone. Can say all kinds of things and try to spin it, but the point is according to Dharma, it's not correct. You can bring a no, but they're not supposed to do, but that's not your business. No, but I'm in this community, how can I? So then you're just a community member, so how are you trying to lead it? Let the leaders deal with this.
Yeah. So does it mean that we should not tell to those that are responsible that they will do something about this?
If you can't do something, you can tell someone who is. But then you have to leave it up to them to do what they do. Now it's like, oh, they didn't do it the way I wanted it done. They did nothing. That's also another form of nonsense. Like that. I'm not going to do it, but they better do it the way I want it done. That's also that. All it is just all anger. And it's all destructive. So, that's the... Yeah. Yes?
Is it the principle being that, say, white dhoti, if there's a spot on that, it appears very prominent and...
No, that's another thing. That's a different... That's from the side what Kamsa's talking about. Kamsa's saying, because he's a king. See, if an ordinary citizen killed his sister because her son was going to kill him, it's bad. And people would make comments and all that, but it wouldn't be as big a deal as him as a kshatriya leading, you know, the whole kingdom. And then he does something wrong. So that's going to be the white spot on the thing. But that's not the discussion we're having here. We're having here is who's qualified to deal with that black spot. Because the point is, it is a white dhoti. We're not talking about a black dhoti with a white spot. Oh, see a white spot, he's qualified. Oh, he is, look at a black spot, he's not qualified. We're talking about that. We're talking about the non-Vedic, mundane, you know, sense of morality. That's not devotional. We may engage it in Krishna's service, but we have to understand it won't give as good a result as if we actually used real morality. You know, that's based on the laws of God. If we use that, that's much more useful in Krishna consciousness. And then when we add Krishna consciousness to that, that's even better yet. So on one level we forgive everyone, give everyone their opportunity. On another level, then we're so strict to the rule that, you know, burn everything to the ground because there's a fault. So this is unbalanced. This is not normal, right? You can't take normal as means just imbalance. This is not balanced.
Thinking in the example, like she told about a devotee who was not exemplary. If you gave the example, not.
Right, he didn't say not exemplary. He said did something wrong. There's a difference. Someone can be exemplary and make a mistake, or someone never does anything right. There's a difference. You can't take them as equal. It's just like that. Let's say one guy cooks fabulously 9 times and 1 time he makes a mistake. And another time, 9 times it's bad. And 1 time somehow or another it was edible, it was okay. Does that make sense? You know, so which one do you have cooked? Yeah, so the guy is there. Now, you work on getting rid of that 1 time that it's bad. Okay, what went wrong there? How to correct that? Not that, oh, he did what? He's not a cook.
Is it to do with the expectation that one who is known for being a good cook, 9 times person, one would expect him more to be 10 times good, and if one is 10 times...
That's there, but this is a different discussion. Do you understand? This is a different discussion. It's a bona fide discussion, what you're asking. But it's a different discussion. It's a different point. We're using similar words, but it's a totally different point. That point is from the position of the person themselves who we're looking at. He's going to try to make it 100%. Right? But it's 90%. Everybody else is looking at it's 90%. There's only 10%. It's just like this. I look at it as the glass is half empty. Everybody else should look at it, the glass is half full. You know, but if it's authority, it's half empty. And if they're not authority, it's half full. There's something wrong. We have authority issues. Because along with that comes, we don't accept the Vedic authority. They go together. Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about.
I was thinking of it to be a human tendency in general. If one is not doing good at all, and if he does something ex-positive, one may see that, oh, it's really appreciable, a nice thing.
That's there, but that's a different discussion. Understand, that's not the point we're making here. It's not that it's not a discussion, but it's not the point being made. Does that make sense? So, when that comes up, we'll discuss it more. Or, we can discuss it as a separate point, but don't try to connect it to this. Don't piggyback it onto this, that, you know, hey, you mentioned the word food, so, you know, I want to discuss about lunch today, because over there, I felt the guys that are over there, how they cooked the lunch and all that. I didn't really like the way they cooked the lunch and the whole mentality, and I went in there and told them I didn't like the lunch, and they just, you know, got upset. Why I was making a valuable contribution? Why didn't they, you know, we're not doing that. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, in the Vedas, for example, the Kshatriyas, when they are on the kingly platform, they're supposed to be like a saintly king. Let's say Parikshit Maharaj.
Yes,
or,
yes.
To be considered a genuine king, it's supposed to be following certain principles.
Yes.
Where is the limit that a saintly king has when he's imposing some punishment in killing and creating suffering? He pays karma for that. It is.
No. If it's properly... See, the point is Shastra defines for what activities you get what rewards or what punishment. So that's what the king is dealing with. So it's suffering on the living entity. Let's say someone's a murderer, so then he'll be killed. So it's suffering for that person, but the point is that is the prescribed way of dealing with that person. He'll get purified. Then in this next life, he won't have that. Does that make sense?
But the here it doesn't apply the same rule on the king that applies on normal citizen. That's what
no, it doesn't. It doesn't apply.
He is forgiven. Let's say he's authorized.
But he's authorized. He's working according to Shastra. Shastra says the king does this. The Shastra said, you know, the dopey does this. Then you know, it's like you do something wrong, and the dopey takes you down and drowns you in his pot along with with his clothes. Then that would be what was done, but it doesn't say, it says the king. So that's what we're meaning here, is that the king is there, but if the king is making a mistake, who's to correct that? He has his Brahmins and his ministers and all that. That's their business. But this idea, no, the common people have their right to know, they get involved, they all give their opinions, and that's not their business. Because if that is the case, then why don't we do that on everything? Do we do that? Okay, let's take, for example, one grihastha. They were dealing with their kid the other day. So now, what's the public opinion on that? Everybody should give it. Okay, we have so many thousands of people here. We have thousands of plies. Work it out, this and that, like this and that. And then he's got to adjust his whole life and all that because everybody says. Nobody does that. You know what I'm saying? Somebody does something as a temple president, he can't be a temple president anymore. Someone does that as a brahmachari, he can't be a brahmachari, he has to get married. So a sannyasi, they can't be that. What if a grihastha is off with someone else's wife? Do they say he can't be a grihastha? You have to be a celibate now. You're a nonsense. You can't be a grihastha. Anybody's ever saying that? Nothing. Right? So, therefore, so much trouble with the sannyasi, we get banned that, so much with good, banned that. There's so much with grihasthas. Why don't we ban that, you know? I mean, you know, like the Catholics. Nobody gets married. But we don't. So that's what I'm saying, is that whose job it is, that's who deals with it. So there are authorities in this, but everybody wants to have a say. Everybody wants to be the authority when they want. But when at another times, okay, here, as far as responsibility, no one wants to take responsibility. Everyone wants to have authority. But the two go together, right? That's the whole point. You have the authority over the child, but you have the responsibility of the child. So you have full responsibility, you have full authority. You know, the neighbors, they don't have any responsibility because they have no authority. Right? So they don't see that I have any authority, and so therefore, you know, no responsibility, therefore then why would they control the kid? But people want to have authority, no responsibility. That's what we're talking about. That's Shankara. That's outside the Vedic system. Vedic system is you have the responsibility, then there's your authority. Right? So you have the responsibility to see that Shastra is maintained in its pure state and understanding. Therefore, you have the authority to say what's right and wrong. You have the responsibility to see that all administration is going correct. Therefore, you have the authority to say who should do what. That's the whole thing. But what it is everyone wants authority, no one wants responsibility. You know, the meeting. Everyone votes, they have the authority, we're the authority. Hey, but this is wrong here and that. Oh, hey, I didn't vote for it. I abstain. So who's wrong? We have to correct this. Well, it's a body, you know, everyone's got their opinion, this and that. We can discuss it. Where's the authority? Where's the responsibility? Nothing. So that's the problem. Vedic is, you have authority in as much as you have responsibility. No responsibility, no authority. Like that. That's how it goes together. So, rights go with obligation. No obligation, no right. But the modern thing is, everyone wants rights. Everyone's the victim. You know? So then, you know, how does this work? Yes.
I was thinking of the discussion that this practitioner is not very children intelligent, because it's a tremendous effect on development of society. It doesn't really get anywhere, basically.
Yeah, no, it doesn't get anywhere.
So, also, you know, this has a tremendous effect on self development as well.
That's there as a community, but see, the whole idea is that's why the acharyas always, you know, it means the recommendation is to associate with the Vaishnavas. That's how you'll advance. You want to advance in anything, you associate with those who are more advanced than you in it. So since spiritual life is the most important, we associate with those who are most spiritually advanced. Now, to make that effective, then we see, as you know, Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami, then the idea of a mission where there's organization. And so then the organization is meant for creating Sadhu Sangha. So then the whole point in there is, but Sadhu Sangha means even in the dealings it's got to be Sadhu Sangha, right? If somebody deals nicely, something goes wrong and people deal nicely and try to correct it, you call that Sadhu Sangha. But if something goes wrong and you throw everything out because it's bad for Sadhu Sangha, they themselves aren't sadhus and aren't worth associating with. Behavior. Yeah, so in other words, it's always the end justifies the means. So we'll use the very methods that we're totally against to get done what we say should be done. So it's not a scientific system. That's why Prabhupada says we should introduce the Varnashram, because it's scientific. But it's not to be introduced from the mundane perspective, it's to be introduced from the spiritual perspective. Because we don't have the piety to use it from the mundane perspective. Right? And what's the point? If it's just mundane and not Krishna conscious, why it's of value? But we don't even have the qualification to use it on a mundane platform. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. By training, then we can use it, but only because of our absorption in devotional service. So therefore, our view is always going to be devotional. We can say but this guy has done this wrong. You know, it's like that, you know, the girl is there washing the pots in the deity room and the two got together and we saw them, you know, this and that. It's things like that. And you, before joining Krishna conscious, what were you doing? You know? And even if you weren't doing anything, what were you thinking about? You know? So you were just sitting there talking and maybe holding hands? Ooh, yeah. That was what you were thinking about at night, right? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that we're coming from such a worse background, and then we're sitting there pointing the finger. The point is this is not good for devotional service. Why not? Because the acharyas say, not because we've decided it's bad. You know? We've decided it has to be as Shastra said, because like that, there has to be purity, one has to be situated properly in ashram, there's proper things like that. Therefore, if this person feels, yes, I would be more comfortable in Grihastha ashram, then move into the Grihastha ashram. So, is this girl the girl? So therefore, then get married to this girl. If it's not, then marry someone who is. Or, okay, that's a mistake, you know, that shouldn't be there, that's not how I want to situate myself, but not because of social prestige, but because I'm actually more comfortable that way. So then he goes back to being a brahmachari, and we don't see him anymore, you know, with that girl on the bench. You know, so one or the other. So, but it should be done as why? Because that service as a pujari, that should go on. Not that, oh no, now he shouldn't do puja for 6 months and this. You know, where do these things come from? Where does Manu or any Shastra say, not doing puja for 6 months, in other words, not doing your duty for 6 months, that'll purify you? Yes, but that's the point. And since when does public opinion have any value? Right? Even the karmis don't value it. It's only seen in the way of political economic. So in other words, politically it will be easier. But if it wasn't going to work and it wasn't going to get an effect, they wouldn't care. You know, businessmen also, if they can get away, they won't. Only when it's bad for business, then they'll adjust. That's the only time. They couldn't care less about public opinion, right? Which means, what is it? In the 1800s, so it's mid-1800s, then in the European scene, then there was the concept that, you know, I mean, people were working, and they'd work 12 hours, 18 hours a day, and not get paid so much. And then the businessmen are happy, they make lots of money, right? Someone came up with the idea is, no, it should be a balance. 8 hours work, 8 hours for your own life, and 8 hours sleep. And then, you know, one, it's more human, you know, this and that, you'll get more benefit, this, that, blah. They went on for 60 years. No one cared. No businessmen cared. Nothing. And this is huge. They're out there. And only because they're going out in these huge, you know, the unions are going out and striking. So that's bad for business because business stops. Then maybe you'll consider. They'll make some little adjustment, but hardly anything. Only when Ford then thought, okay, let's do this. He works it out. Then he 8 hour workday, and they got paid double what they would normally get. In 12 hours, what they would do, 12 hours work, get paid for 12 hours. He gave them 8 hours and got double of what they were getting paid for 12. All the other businessmen, this guy's crazy. But because he figured out that then they'll be inspired more, they'll work better and everything like that, they'll be fresher. And that, so then after 2 years, when his profits were way more than everybody else, and the other businessmen thought, oh,
it works out.
So since when does anybody care about public opinion? We make it sound like, who cares? Shudras care about public opinion. People that run the world care? No. So in the Vedic, then you're trying to take care of everybody so that they are happy. But that's the point of the Vedic culture. The modern, it's not. We say it's about, but is it about protecting the people? If it is, why is it all about public opinion? It says, when does the public, without training, know what's good? You know? So that's the whole thing. You can come up with all kinds of things. But what is the actual facts? So in the modern, you can't say. You know, is euthanasia good or not? Is abortion good or not? You know, is legalizing, you know, marijuana good or not? Because by modern facts, you can't really say. You can say, okay, there's some things showing this, but there's things showing that, and so only the laws of nature can actually show what's there and what's the scientific proof of stuff, what's in line with the laws of nature. They'll check it. Okay, you know, before smoking cigarettes was considered good. It was good for health, you ate less, you lost weight, you know, you were more enthusiastic. So doctors, the commercials for selling cigarettes were done by doctors. Yeah, it was talking, you know, that this doctor, he smokes, you know, this one. And that doctor smokes that one, you know, recommends this, you know, and then you know, so many different things like that. That's going on. Then in the 60s, they started figuring out, hey, you know, something's not right here. You know, and then there started that whole thing about, you know, it's bad for, it's only, I think, was it 10 years ago or something like that, or a little more, that now that everything has to say this will kill, you know, is bad for your health.
Kills you.
Yeah, now it says it'll kill you. In fact, before it was just a little thing on the bottom. Now it's half the carton says this will kill you. Like that. And they charge more. You know? So at least, you know, then, you know, they pay for more for cigarettes, so at least the tax money from that then can go into helping someone else, you know, teaching the kids don't smoke or something, you know. So, you know, so the whole thing is it's not necessarily the public knows what's good for them. Because before it was the thing, you're smoking, you're with it. You're not smoking, you know, you're the idiot. Now it's you're not smoking, you're the good guy, and the guy who's smoking, he's the idiot. So why do we say public opinion is the main feature? No, you can take public opinion so that within authorized suggestions, you choose one that if you can get where it's according to Shastra and the public likes it, then that's good. Why would you ignore? But if it's going to come down to what the public wants and what the Shastra says don't have anything to do with each other, then what does that mean? Your public is not trained enough. So that means leadership has to put more effort into training. Otherwise, they'd be talking within, you know, it's like the guy's a murderer, so, you know, some say he should be hanged, some say his head should be stepped on by an elephant, you know, some say he should be, you know, his head get cut off, you know, so there's different opinions there, but they're all, you know, within. So that's the whole thing is public opinion is totally overrated. It's part of the consideration. But otherwise, if we take that, we can say, no, but that's nonsense, that's, you know, unprogressive, oh, that's aggressive, oh, that's medieval and this and that. Okay, in the family, how much is okay? What is going to be the menu? That we leave up to the kids? It's public opinion. There's three kids, there's two adults. Now, by the modern context that we just said, 3-2, that wins, that's a majority. So they say it should be spaghetti and ice cream every night. Lunch should be candy bars. You know, and breakfast should be, you know, how you say, whatever cereal has more sugar in it, and put more sugar in there, you know, and with chocolate milk. Hey, that's public opinion. And then every parent, no, not just that. They'll consider and try to make something nice. That's what we're talking about. So therefore, when the citizens are seen like family, like you know, men, but they're the junior ones, and the parents have to take care, then that's it. Just no one wants to be the kid. So that means you have a bunch of 5-year-olds, you know, who have the you know, false ego of, you know, they're 40. And now everyone gets together, no, this is not right, but they're still talking, what they're talking is still like a 5-year-old. You know, are they gonna make it work? No. You know, so that's the whole thing. The greenie drives to work in what? Is he using a horse? Now, if all the greenies use horses, now you could say, okay, now we're talking about something here. None of them are using a horse. I use a bicycle. I have an electric car. You know, I have a Prius. You know, like this and that. I take the bus. But all those are using resources that are not green. And even you say the bicycle. Where did the bicycle come from? You know, some mine in Chile and all that with some guy, you know, working 12 hours a day. So how is that green? You know? So the whole point is it's not real. You know? Not that the concept isn't good. Beta is green. Is there any chemicals in no, it's all natural. You know, so the Veda is saying, you know, be organic, be natural. And then we're saying the Veda is not good? Oh, the leadership should be concerned about the public. That's a Vedic thing. It's not a common thing. If it was common, why is there Magna Carta? Right? You know, why is there the laws that, okay, you know, people have rights? Because they didn't give rights. That's the Western system. So the Western is the backwards one. The Vedic is the one that's ahead. But because the Vedics there before, they think it's behind. Oh, we just figured it out today. You know, it's just like kid goes to school today, learns something at school. Now he's the big guy who knows everything. People have known that forever. But because he knows it, now it's important. So that's the whole thing, is the Vedas always known this. And now they just figure it out. And now, because they figured it out, now it's special. You know? You know, it's like before, wearing a chadar, that's part of the thing. A gentleman wears a chadar, right? But how many people wear a chadar? Not so many. But in the Western thing, they take the Indian shawls. It's become fashion, so they wear it around their neck and this and that. Now you see so many people who would never wear chadar now are all wearing. Not because it's the Vedic standard, because it's the Western. You know? So, great, so then, you know. But the point is the Vedic is always been, it's always ahead. And if you find something that says, no, but this is not right, that's because somebody's misapplying it. It's God's laws. The laws of nature always work. Take an environment, let's say we take some city of the world, right? Now, a popular one would always be to take New York, right? You know, because Los Angeles is already falling apart, so take New York, right? Now, let's say everybody moves out of New York, no one goes there for the next 100 years, right? What if you come back, what do you see? This nice green place, you know, all these things like that, plenty of animals and birds and butterflies, and it's all happening. So laws of nature always work. Now it's man's choice whether he wants to follow the laws or not. So the Veda gives the laws, then it works. But when we don't want to follow, we think, no, I've got it all figured out, but you know, the same thing that they're saying goes back thousands of years. The Greeks said this stuff and it still didn't work for them. Where are the Greeks now? Right? From being the leading civilization in the world, in the Western world, to being the one that when they join the EU, the whole thing collapses. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, so what's going on here? So that's the whole point, is that from the, these things are so old, but they don't work. Otherwise, if it did work, then why did it have to the Romans? And where are the Romans? You know? So that's the whole point, is that mundane, without being in line with the laws of God, never works. Mental speculation doesn't work, because if it did, we'd be using it. Okay. It's a good one.
Yeah. Which will be the understanding or balance between the Ramachandra taking the voz popular in the middle of the people?
But that's Ramachandra. Did the people say that? Does anybody else agree with that? Everybody, all the Ram Bhaktas are saying, yeah, Rami should have gone to the forest, right? You know, like this, you know, his wife and this and that. And so, yeah, you know, it's like that. You know, so that's why he's a good king, because he saw the writing on the wall and got out, you know, when the get was good and stuff like that. Does any Ram Bhakta agree that Sita should have gone to the forest? No, but he's doing it according to that because he's seeing the public being, from his point of view. But we're talking about people who are not in that position of authority trying to dictate what should be done. Or they're in the position of authority, but they're not taking any responsibility why they should be dictating. It's a different discussion. What your point's making is connected to what he is saying. Is that from the authority themselves.
I didn't finish the question.
Oh.
So what is the balance between that and like the authorities saying that only like authorities need to get and talk about the solution or how to deal with
it? Because the point is it's about authorities are supposed to discuss, but it's based on scripture. Scripture says then you have to see. Like, how did Uttanapada crown Dhruva the king? He himself was convinced he's qualified, Dhruva Maharaj. Then he checked with the ministers, who are seniors. They were also agreed. Then he also, through his methods, found out what the public opinion was. So you take all three, but you see, two of them are dealing with authority, only one's that. It's not that the public overwhelms. You know what I'm saying? So it's part of the equation. Just like what you're doing in the house, kids are part of it. But it's still who's leading it, the parents, based on what's the standards. You know, kids want spaghetti and ice cream. Okay, on Sunday, not every day, or three times a day. That's another thing. If they're doing a good job, then at least you know, somebody's the parents and somebody's the kids. You know, so by rasa, then the kids are the parents and the parents are the kids. So it works out. You know, you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur at 12, then he has to run the family, you know, take care of his mother, get his sisters married, like this and that, you know, make all the money. So you do have. Yes.
Maharaj, when in the time all these Vedic injunctions and systems of living were like diminished, and means what make them disappear from the common behavior and as a background, sustainable, authoritative background from the mind of the people and the history. What made it collapse that much?
It's Kali Yuga.
I have the reply as a Kali Yuga, but where in the...
It's just a lack of faith in authority. That's where it starts.
It's a pollution from in the mind from Kali Yuga itself as a period, but
that's,
it's not that there was
that's
some...
The living entity wants themselves to be the authority. See, Vedic system means I'm not the authority. The Veda is the authority. God's the authority, and therefore I follow that. But in Kali Yuga, everyone wants to be the authority. You know, follow your heart, be true to yourself. You know, it's all about you, your mind, what you feel like, and that's it. So authority, the main difficulty you could say is to establish it is authority issues. So Veda is authority. So if you have authority issues, that includes the Veda. You know, because are people having father issues? Means they have individually, but are we? There's a movement that we have issues about fathers. No, but is there movements about issues about authority, managerial authority, spiritual authority? That we have Veda. Yes, that you can get a group together. But you see, any group that's dedicated that why fathers should have authority in the family? No, none. They personally may have issues with their father, but they're not making that into a thing. You know? So they're just going... The point is to have the demoniac mentality, you have to go anti-Vedic. You know? In this age, at least. Other ages, you could follow it and still be a demon. But in this age, you basically kind of... You know, the point is you have to take it to extreme. Kali Yuga means then all, you know, pull out all stops to be as demoniac as possible. Though, because you're giving up the piety, then the potency of these demons is smaller and smaller. You know, like that. But, so I would say is your central point, because the first thing taught in the Gurukul is respect for authority. Respect is the first thing. And that's what people aren't into these days, respect. People respecting me, yes, but me respecting others, no. Right? The profile that you're cool. That means you're not respecting anybody else, but everybody's got to respect you. That's what being cool means. You know? So that's the whole thing. And then if there's someone else who's as cool as you or actually more cool than you, then you try to, okay, hey, we're both cool. But if you think you're more cool than him, then you'll be cool towards him also. So it's not based on so that's your main thing. There's no respect. So that you know, like that, it all goes down. You know, no respect, no cleanliness, all these basic things. So because of that, the mind's polluted. Doesn't work. So that's why for us, then we work on those. We put there's respect. That's the first thing. We study the scriptures. What's the authorized thing to do rather than mental speculation? You know, cleanliness, control of the senses. What are proper duties? Being dutiful. Right? You know.
Is it easy to make it widespread to a nation with millions or cities?
Of course.
It's not that complicated. It's not.
It's not. It's the whole point is it's simple. We just have to take it. If we accept it, then it works. If you're sitting around aiming at your foot, you know, then you don't get anywhere. So that's the whole thing. If it's accepted, then you'll figure out how to do it. Because the point is, we don't have to run the society. It's not our business. We train people how to be Krishna conscious, and if they are in their position to be leaders of society, they'll do it. We don't have to do it. Why do we have to do it? You know, devotees try to do it, they don't get anywhere. And it's just like this. I decide I'm going to be a PhD, right? Being a PhD, now I will change the academy, right? One, impossible. And two, let's say I do that. Okay, that's going to be 4 years, you know, undergraduate, 2 years as graduate, and another 3-4 years as that. So that means it's going to be, what's that, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 to 10 years. Now, imagine if I'm on campus every day, and you're going to put in 10 hours a day to do that. Now, if I put in 10 hours a day on campus preaching to the teachers and the students there, how many people would be devotees after 10 years? And after 10 years, hopefully, that person who made that endeavor is still a devotee. And if they are, can they do any change? Zero. So instead of making it that Indology, we're having an effect on Indology, Indology is having an effect on us. Our own social fabric is being broken down by Indologists. Because that's what Indology was created for. It was created by the Western Academy to destroy the Vedic culture. And they're carrying it on perfectly. It wasn't created to support. It was created to get rid of. Right? Jewish studies is to support Judaism. Islamic studies is to support that. Christian studies is to support that. Indology is meant to destroy the Vedic culture. That's what it was designed for. So it's being, instead of having outside, it's having influence inside. Oh, we don't have to do that. Oh, the Shastra doesn't mention dhotis. It's just like, hey, you don't know enough Sanskrit? Then, you know, great. But, you know, maybe keep your opinion to yourself. You know? And the fun part is there's a good chance the guy who's doing the Jewish studies and that may have even been to Israel. You know? The Christian, the Muslim, they've all been to Jerusalem or been to holy places and that. But there's a good chance that anybody who's an Indologist has never been to India. Doesn't want to come to India. Doesn't like India.
Sometimes it's better to set the people up.
Sorry?
Sometimes
that's another thing, but still, but my point is that using that as examples, they're taking it that, no, I'm going to change like this, no, you'll be changed by it. Well, if you just preach, you get more done. So there's no need to try to, therefore, I want to change politics, I'll become a politician. No, all you have to do is preach to politicians. Right? You want to change the business, or preach to businessmen. That's what you do. You don't have to become them. So that's what I meant by we don't need to do those things. We need to be qualified that people in those positions want to hear from us. Because it's Kali Yuga, they're not going to do it because they're supposed to. They're going to do it because they see the benefit. So that's it. Is that okay? That's good. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premanandini.